You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Couple of things right off the bat. Some of the headline news of the day as we see it, and then, as usual, the context of what is going on in this economy. Item one, of course, the vaccine news from Moderna, the second 90-plus percent efficiency rate vaccine in 1 week. The stock market, as we know, is not the, how do we know that? Because I hear it on the radio all the time. We know it's not the economy, but it can give a real-time indicator of feelings about the future of this economy. Overall, today, feeling pretty good, eventually. Item two, President-elect Biden. He had a meeting today with some corporate CEOs and union leaders, Mary Barra at GM, Satya Nadella at Microsoft, to name a couple. He made some remarks afterward. The president-elect said he supports a $3 trillion relief package. He wants money to support state and local budgets in there as well. And he said labor unions are going to have more power while he is in office. Item three, California, and here is where things turn more sober. This afternoon, Governor Gavin Newsom rolled back a whole slew of business reopenings here in what is, I think, like the fifth largest economy in the world, if it were a country, maybe seventh largest, I forget, but you get my point. Anyway, he did that, as is happening in virtually the whole country, the virus raging out of control. There are echoes in this of what happened back in the spring when small businesses in particular got clobbered. So Marketplace's Erica Barris spent her day on the phone with some of those small businesses.
When things shut down in the spring, the Stampede Cocktail Club in Seattle, Washington, got a PPP loan, held a GoFundMe to help support employees, scale back days and hours, sold gift cards and merchandise and to-go drinks.
I always joke around that we've pivoted so much that our hips hurt.
That's General Manager Sarah Grindstaff. She says business revenue is down by 75%. And with this new shutdown looming,
I think it's going to be completely different. I think it's a different ballgame. I think people, you know, we didn't know what we were going into this first time. So it was kind of like, oh, a pandemic. But now it's like, this is a pandemic.
And more than half a year later, many people have been struggling for months, says Matthew Slaughter, an economist at Dartmouth College.
Unfortunately, more of their customers and clients are more stressed financially because of the absence of some of the federal government support that have rolled off.
That worries Wendelin Scott, who owns Yoga Source in Santa Fe, New Mexico. When things shut down the first time, she had two locations.
It was pretty stressful. The psychological and emotional stress that everybody was under, and then the intense learning curve to get everybody online.
Then in June, she shut down one of her studios. Now most of her classes are online, but she's just breaking even. She hopes her remaining brick-and-mortar studio will survive the winter. In Chicago, Candace Cowles, who owns Hair Salon Come See See Me, where she makes custom wigs and weaves for her clients, hopes she's prepared. Before the pandemic, clients would bring her hair bundles and she'd style them in shop. Now Cowles buys the hair, styles it, sends it to customers, and then virtually walks them through how to do it themselves.
We don't even have to touch each other, see each other, anything. So now, the profits are higher.
Cowles is optimistic, but her business depends on clients with disposable income and how they weather the COVID-19 winter. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
We talked on Friday, if you remember, about the holiday shopping season and how retailers are outfitting their warehouses to get ready for a pandemic-induced surge in online sales. There's a whole bunch of logistics they have to worry about and staffing and IT stuff. Also, though, some simpler things, as Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
In a pandemic, retailers kind of have to take the sales they can get. But this whole shift to online shopping over the holidays is going to cost them, because they have to spend money on things like cardboard boxes.
If it's a very small box, it could be in the cents. If it's a very large box, it can be dollars.
Brian Smith is an executive at Georgia Pacific. It makes corrugated cardboard boxes. He says box orders for online retail are up by more than 30% compared to last year.
It's certainly been a challenge because we're taking extraordinary steps to keep all of our employees safe, which can slow production down considerably. So sometimes it involves running extra hours and into weekends to keep up with demand.
Also, the company's paper mills are running at full capacity, and Georgia Pacific has been buying paper from small suppliers when it can't make enough. On recent earnings calls, other cardboard box makers have also said demand is off the charts. David Marcotte at Kantar says we're not seeing a shortage of cardboard boxes in the U.S. at this point. But with COVID-related shipping delays, it might be tough to get all the boxes to retailers when they need them.
The boxes have to be shipped from the manufacturer to whoever's going to be using them, be it Amazon, Target, Walmart, etc.
One scenario, if a worker at a warehouse doesn't have the right sized box, they could use the wrong size. You ever order a bottle of hand soap online and it shows up rolling around in a box that could fit a pair of knee-high boots?
When things are getting pressed and things are going quickly and they can't grab the box that's really suited for a box of soap, they'll grab whatever box because I got to keep the line moving.
Which costs a little more and doesn't always go over so well with customers who see it as wasteful. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.